It's time to go under the Friday Night Lights with a look at the big game of the week.
Well, Steve, it's not often that the name Bellevue Wolverines and the phrase licking their wounds is used in the same sentence.
I would say so.
But the Bellevue Wolverines, very similarly to the Seattle Seahawks, two dominant teams that are riding two-game losing streaks.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in a long time.
The Hawks and Bellevue both losing in the final game of the season last year, and then both losing in the first game of this year. Now, Bellevue didn't do it the way the Seahawks did, losing in overtime with some questionable, you know, a play can go one way or another that can mean the difference of the game. Bellevue got flat out whooped by Bishop Gorman last week.
Oh, they sure did.
Flat out trashed by Bishop Gorman. And so now it's their opportunity to get a little revenge and start playing teams from their own state, which we know, other than Eastside Catholic last night or last year in the championship game, Bellevue did the whooping on the rest of the state of Washington last year. And for much of the last decade, they were the whoopers and not the whoopies. So what happened tonight between Bellevue and Mercer Island? That was played on the Rock, right?
Yeah, finally.
All right.
Got it back on this side. Last year it was in Bellevue, and really Mercer Island was the only team that gave Bellevue a run for their money. It was 21-21 at half. And so you're thinking,
I remember that. And then Bellevue just went,
Bellevue kind of ran away with
that.
It. So, you know, it was a nice rivalry game. And actually, before the game, the PA announcer had to make a quick announcement that, hey, this is a rivalry game, but everyone, we got to keep our behavior in such a way that promotes sportsmanship.
A little warning.
And stuff like
that. Okay. All right.
So there was a little bit of storylines going into that. And, you know, this was actually the first time I've seen Bellevue play outside of the Tacoma Dome.
So tell me what happened in the game.
So it kind of was the typical Bellevue game that we usually see. Mercer Island gets the ball. They get a quick three and out. Bellevue gets the ball, and then first play from scrimmage, they get a touchdown. It was a 55-yard pass from Justice Rogers to Tyson Penn. And this is like thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be one of those games.
Right.
Next possession, three and out. And as you might expect, they responded with a 35-yard touchdown on a 4th and 6. And you know how Bellevue, they don't do anything conventional. I mean, they always, you know, go for it on weird plays.
Right.
They use a lot of deception. Last year, you know, it seemed like they were using a lot of just halfback dives right up the middle with Sam Richmond. This year, they're going to a much more complex running game where they got guys coming from motion,
fake handoffs on the sweeps. And
And I'm standing there on the sideline with a camcorder trying to follow the play.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I probably missed five plays.
Three card Monty, man. So, football three card Monty is what it is.
Yeah, so I think they're kind of changing their game plan up. You know, their linemen aren't as big as they have been in recent years, so they're going to have to kind of change their style where they're using more of the outside lateral game instead of just pounding it right up the gut each time. But I left it 35-0. It was in the third quarter just to get down here for the game. So I imagine they ended up running away with it in typical Bellevue fashion.
All running, or did we see Justice Rogers chuck a few?
Didn't see a whole lot of chucking other than that Gilchrist touchdown.
Okay.
And they actually brought in Zach Enger, their backup quarterback. They kind of switched a lot. There wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he even got the first half. I mean, and it wasn't because the score was running up why they brought in the backup quarterback, because they brought Rogers back in the second half to start out. So Bellevue has a lot of skilled players, and I think they are obviously the best players on the team instead of kind of, like I mentioned, the linemen. They're going to have to carry the bulk for them this year, and you know, we'll see what happens. But it's going to be exciting when they play Juanita, I think, on October 9th.
That's the prime competition in 3A Kinko?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a solid Kinko matchup this year in going into the playoffs for them.
Okay, we have a final now. I think we might be.
Oh yeah, it looks like 56-0 was the final. So,
wow, taking a little revenge out on
you could see
on Mercer Island.
On the special teams, they were going gangbusters.
That was an angry team.
Angry.
You know, and you never know when when an elite team from one state plays an elite team from another state. We've seen it many times where teams have come up here. You know, Trinity from Texas came up here with a bunch of, you know, Hugh Millen was at that. They called that game, and Hugh Millen said, I literally thought that team was a small college team, and Bellevue beat them. You know, of course, we know the great story of De La Salle and CenturyLink Field, and Bellevue took care. So you really don't know. And Bishop Gorman came up here with an amazing football team and came and took Bellevue out. But now you would think that Bellevue will go on an extensive winning streak in Kinko like they always do, probably go undefeated in Kinko, and then face maybe Eastside Catholic again in a rematch for the state championship.
Hopefully the bracket's set up to where, you know, we see them first week of December, not last week of November.
That would be fun. Not to count out all the rest of the teams in the 3A, but, you know, everybody else is going to have to beat the two big dogs. The two big dogs on the block in 3A are Eastside Catholic and Bellevue, and until somebody knocks them off from the state, they'll continue to be the two big dogs. So, tell me a little bit about Justice Rogers. Is he does he run on his own much, or is he pretty much just the executioner of the triple option?
He does. I mean, like I said, they're not very conventional, so he's not really used as a conventional quarterback. He does a lot of the runs. He basically takes the ball, turns around, and gives it to one of the many guys that is going to run with the ball, and no one ever really knows who it is. You see five guys running one way, five guys running the other, and then you see some guy finally down the sideline sprinting all by himself.
Oh, he has the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
40 yards downfield. So it's terrible to call a Bellevue football game just because of that.
Yeah,
because
it's tough.
You literally, I mean, the key to calling, I'm sure you'll have to call the play-by-play for a Bellevue game. The key on radio is to call the play like 5 seconds after it happens.
Yeah.
And you literally say, okay, he's taking the snap, when really he's running down the sideline. So then you know who's got the ball running down the sideline. Little radio secret there when you're calling the triple option. Because if you call the play as it's snapped, you're just as lost as a play-by-play guy as you were trying to film that thing.
You're going to sound like a rookie if you're trying to call.
Exactly.
You're going to get the wrong carrier
and
most of the time.
And I sound like a rookie enough. I don't need any extra help. But Bellevue hammers Mercer Island tonight 56-0. And Steve is saying that Juanita's probably the best shot in the Kinko 3A.
Yeah.
It would be a huge upset if anybody in that division beat, or anybody in that conference beat Bellevue in the regular season. So we'll see what happens. Bellevue licking their wounds and doing it quite successfully tonight after the loss to Bishop Gorman last week.